Welcome to Donor Audio Interview 2781.
Identify a person who had a significant influence on you and explain the influence.
My grandfather, my mother's father, we called him Pop Pop. And it was always said in my family that he would give the shirt off his back. He was the sort of person who, if he saw somebody stopped with their car at the side of the road, he would actually stop with them and either fix the problem or help them get help. He's just an incredible person.
What do you aspire to be?
I would really like to write professionally. I would love to be a published author. And I've been working on things basically since I was 4 years old. I haven't had any projects carry on since then, but I've had some books that I've been writing since I was 16, and hopefully someday we'll see them in print, or maybe just online, I don't know.
How would you describe yourself as a human being?
I think that I would define myself by my actions. I feel like that's the best way to judge a person, or to say what they are as a human being. And I really enjoy spending my time volunteering. Last weekend, I worked at a playground and helped lay a new layer of wood chips so that kids wouldn't hurt themselves when they were playing. So I really like to, I recognize that I've had a lot of blessings in my life, and I really like to see if I can pass those on to others.
What type of things make you happy?
I love to be outdoors. I really like to spend time in nature. So I grew up in a smaller area, not a lot of people and plenty of outdoors. So I really like to get back to that. I like to be in the outdoors with people or dogs, I should say. That's just a way to recharge for me.
What types of things make you sad?
I'd say as a blanket statement, things that I see on the news. I feel like it's pretty easy to be pessimistic, you know, with the headlines and the sort of things that are happening these days and always. We see tragedy there all the time. I really like to focus on news stories where we're making some sort of progress or advancement, you know, scientific or socially or culturally. Downloaded another library, decoded another genome. Those are always nice, but it seems like the majority of the stories are kind of depressing.
Describe the world you come from and how that world shaped who you are.
Well, I mentioned earlier I came from a lower population area, very low population density. Some people would describe it as a village. And I feel like that definitely has shaped me as a person. For example, I can't stand lines. I never had to wait in them growing up, so I don't relate to them very well. I am the sort of person who will stand in them, though. Maybe that's part of the problem. I don't know. I really connect with other people who enjoy the outdoors. I think there's something in all of us that does. And I really like to share that with people. So enjoy going on camping trips with people because of that, I think. At the same time, you know, people who are married to their cars, who never get out of them. I don't know. I don't relate to that as well. I think that's part of who I am, too.
Does any specific attribute, quality, or skill distinguish you from everyone else? How did you develop this attribute?
I have a level of, well, this is going to sound negative, but I have a level of nitpickiness that I think few people have developed, and that's helped me a lot professionally. I don't apply it in everyday life. I think that would be bad. Well, I don't say when I apply it in everyday life. I guess I see typos and things, you know, movie posters or things like that. But I try to speak normally, for example. I think that I've had a lot of education, one of the blessings I've gotten to have, and that's helped develop, but also just attention to detail. And I think that a lot of people sort of lose that in our everyday life, where we're exposed to so much technology and it all has to be so fast.
What do you think are the most admirable qualities a person can have and why?
I think that compassion is something that we don't recognize as being important in some ways in our society. And I feel like somebody who has compassion, it leads to a lot of wonderful attributes. You know, the types of care that people are motivated to give if someone has compassion. And just the attention to human suffering. You know, we see so much of it. And I think that a lot of people become blind to it. We're so overexposed. But somebody who has compassion and practices it will never go blind to it. It could be painful. But I think that's an important thing for us to develop, and it's easy to lose.
What quality do you like best in yourself, and what do you like least?
Wow, what a question. I think my favorite part of me is sort of a childlike wonder. I say that, I think, partially reflected, you know, through the eyes of my family. You know, I maybe it's growing up in the wilderness, essentially. Or maybe I've gotten to travel a lot. And I just, you know, I'm in tune with things that some people miss. I really, I get struck by the sense of awe sometimes and just lose myself in it. And I guess I appreciate that about myself too, but I don't know, it always makes traveling with people fun, because they'll see things I don't and appreciate them in ways that I never could, and then I'll help them step back and be awed by something. In terms of, I'm self-critical about some things. Like, I feel like often I'm easily distracted. Maybe those things are related. I'll see something interesting and it'll just stop me completely. Maybe I'm awed by it. Maybe I'm just obsessive about it. Again, nitpickiness. But maybe distracted by details or just stopped dead in my tracks, unable to move.
What kind of values did your parents instill in you that you would like to pass on to your own children?
My mother has a special way of relating with people, and I feel like I've picked that up. She's very empathetic. She tends to know how people are feeling. I think that's sort of a family trait with her. I can't explain it, but I'd like to think that I have some of that. I don't know that that can be trained. Maybe it can. Maybe observing her relating to people taught me that. And my father is, some kids growing up feel like, you know, their parents are stupid. You know, they talk about the ratio, the older you get, the dumber your parents are, until you grow up too. That never happened with me. He never stopped being the smartest person that I've ever met. And I, you know, I'll admit I'm not as smart as he is. I don't know anybody else who is, obviously. But the intellectual curiosity, I think, that has given him his intelligence, I have a small part of that. And I never stop learning. And I definitely get that from my dad.
Tell me how you like to spend time with your family.
My family constantly travels. We've lived all over the world. We do live all over the world right now. So when we're together, it means that we're probably some of us away from home. So what we do by default is travel. And sometimes some of us are hosting the others. So some of us are playing tour guides. But it's really neat to be able to explore with loved ones.
Tell me about the most cherished present you ever received for your birthday or holiday, and tell me why this gift was so special.
When I was in my early teens, my father got me a fly fishing set, and it was one of those where, you know, I could see it was a very large package, and that got me excited about it, but he made me open it last. So as a kid, I knew it was going to be big, and then when I opened it, I was disappointed. It was also one of those. And I think he could probably tell that. I think parents always can. But eventually I realized that, you know, I never expressed any interest in fly fishing. And the reason that he got it was because he wanted to spend more time with me. And we went out on some fly fishing trips. And, they worked out. I'm not a big fly fisher now. But I think that gift has always just stuck with me. Because as I've grown, I've realized how much love he put behind that. And it wasn't about the fly fishing rod or the fisherman's jacket that he got me. It was about the time that he, you know, included in that gift as an investment, getting it for me and then spending that time fishing. But unfortunately, I don't like to fish. I still don't, but I love my dad.
Tell me about some activities you enjoyed in your childhood.
Growing up in the wilderness like I did, I had the chance to participate in what people consider extreme sports, and I've never been able to consider them extreme because I was doing them from age 8. My parents had me rock climbing. When I was in my early teens, we started kayaking and ice climbing, and I've moved away from those activities now, but it was so neat to be able to grow up doing them, and now people who, you know, see pictures or movies of them around a place like this where I think it's harder to do, they're less accessible. You know, I know that I'm capable of doing that, whereas other adults that I know look at that and wonder if they'll ever have the chance or if they have that in them to do it. I knew that at a young age I was capable of that, like I think anybody is. And that's been really special. I still enjoy the wilderness, and I sometimes I wish that, you know, I could still support myself in activities like that, but they're so inaccessible around here. I don't know of any ice climbing.
What is your favorite book?
That is one of the hardest possible questions anybody could ever ask me. I could go on for days. I think one of my favorite books is Fathers and Sons. Just the relationship that it describes between human beings and how tense it is because of the times. It sets these characters as humans in such a turbulent time for the society in which they lived. And the society is so different from what we have now, but at the same time, if you put any two of us or four of us into that kind of place and time, I think that we would act just as they did. It's very convincing. It's a great study of humanity. And I could tell you about 20 other books right now, but I think that would take a while.
What is your favorite word and why?
My favorite word is the longest word in the dictionary, and it's not my favorite word for reasons you might think. It's anti-disestablishmentarianism. And I used to teach English, and sometimes kids would run up to me looking for trivia questions, or sometimes I'd give them trivia questions. You know, we'd like to stump each other. They got me sometimes, I'll admit. But just the look on their faces when I would say that word, I'll never forget it. So I guess I have some emotional ties to that word.
What was the last movie you saw? And did you like it?
Let's see. The last movie I saw was Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. It was the second time I've seen it. And I got something different out of it the first time. This time, I don't know, it seemed very frightening. I did enjoy it. I think that Capra's vision still holds true today. And I think that's scary. But maybe it's just, you know, like any Capra movie, showing something underlying our human nature. But a very good film.
What type of sports do you like to watch?
About once a year I go to a baseball game, but other than that I don't really watch sports. I think I'm fairly new to the area, and I think if I had friends on teams, I might go to some, you know, local sports or intramurals or whatever they call them when it's non-professionals playing. But I don't really watch sports.
Are you a creative person? If so, how do you express your creativity?
I consider myself a creative person. I think that some of my friends would agree. I don't always express it in daily life, and my job doesn't lend itself to a lot of creativity. But I like to get together with friends, and we like to write together and read what we write sometimes and give constructive criticism and praise. I think that it's hard to judge whether anybody else is creative. I feel like a lot of us just don't give ourselves time for creativity. But and when I'm not creative, I'm not always. I think that's my problem. So when I have time and when I give myself and make myself time, I am creative.
Choose a prominent person, either living, deceased, or fictional, whom you would like to interview and explain why.
I think that Robin Hood would be a lot of fun to interview. Because I'd like to know the real Robin Hood. Obviously, no historian has pinned him down. But I'd like to know if he really was altruistic, like we seem to think he was now. Or what did he really think of all those people he was robbing from and the people he was giving the money to? And did he take some off the top?
Is there a work of art, piece of music, scientific phenomenon, mathematic theory, or piece of literature that has surprised or unsettled or challenged you, and in what way?
I think as a broad category, there have been several classic works of literature that really unsettled me because of how good they were and how accessible they were to me as a modern reader. I studied ancient Greek because of this, and I'd like to study Chinese someday. The Odyssey of Homer is what inspired me to study Greek, and that's because I read a really wonderful translation of it. I think it was Fagel's. And it challenged me because, here I was reading, at the time I was a teenager, and I was reading a lot of fantasy, I think like teenagers do, many teenagers. And something that was written so long ago and from such a different tradition had such an impact on me. I loved that. It was such a surprise. And then with Chinese, it was the Romance of the Three Kingdoms, Zhang Guo Yanyu, and I'm sure I'm not really pronouncing that right, but that it was from an entirely different culture, from a radically different language than anything that I knew or know now. And that it was still so incredibly powerful and exciting. Those both really changed how I looked at literature and I think even at cultures to an extent.
Of everything in the world, what would you like to be doing right now?
I would like to be with my family traveling. I don't get to see them very often, and it's always really special and a life-changing experience when we get together.
What was the most difficult time in your life? How did you overcome these difficulties? How did your perspective on life change as a result of the difficulty?
I've lived in a number of different countries, and my experiences abroad were some of the more difficult times, not just physically because I didn't have all the niceties I was used to, but also the language and cultural barriers were sometimes really hard to cross. And I was able to overcome these by learning the language, by just getting used to the fact that my life was different and that other people survived and thrived under those circumstances. And my approach to life definitely changed in the sense that, you know, when I come back to a place as wonderful as the U.S., where we have a lot of things, let's face it, pretty easy, you know, I know that when I face a challenge, I can still overcome it because I've overcome similar challenges and more difficult circumstances. And I think also really importantly, I've picked up, you know, I've made a lot of relationships and a lot of friends in those countries. So I know that if I ever want to go back, I can pick up those ties and, you know, start back in on the level of understanding I have in that culture. It's a wonderful feeling.
Did you have a favorite board game when you were a kid?
I used to love the board game Clue because when I was young, I developed what I thought was a fail-safe way to beat it. And then I started playing against an accountant, and every time that I played it with her, she beat me. And for some reason, I stopped liking it as much then. It's hard to say why.
What is your favorite dinner?
It's almost sad to say that my tastes haven't changed much since when I was a teenager. I still love pizza. And I like almost any kind of pizza. Those ones that you get in the refrigerator section in the grocery store that taste like cardboard, I think that's the only kind that I don't like. Almost any kind of delivery is good for me.
Why did you choose editor as your career or line of work?
A word I used to describe myself earlier was nitpicky. And I think that I understand that and accept that about myself. I think that's something that somebody does need to accept about themselves if it's an attribute. And it's really very useful in this line of work. In a sense, I stumbled into my work as an editor. I always had friends asking me to help them revise their papers in school. And I started doing that professionally when I was pretty young. And then when I was working abroad, I constantly worked with people who wanted to improve their writing skills. And then when I came back to the U.S. and I was looking for things to do, then I found all these great positions with, you know, fairly mid-level qualifications, and I had all of these, even though I'd never been thinking about it as a career path. So it's worked out very well.
What do you find most interesting about your work?
It's easy to immerse myself in my work. I like to be able to just put on my headphones and tune out the world and focus on the text that I'm editing. It can be strangely exciting for such a quiet and introspective job.
If you had to choose a different career, what would you be? Why would you choose this career?
In the past, I've been a teacher, and I actually hope to return to the classroom someday before too long. I enjoy editing, but I really miss being able to shape young minds, let's say. It was really wonderful to be able to teach for quite a number of years, and I'd like to resume that at some point.
If you could take a snapshot of your life 10 years from now, what would you be doing?
My family would all live, we'd all live near each other, so we could visit whenever we wanted. I would be an instructor of some sort, probably a professor, writing on the side, maybe doing a little editing on the side. And I'm actually pretty happy with the number of countries I've visited and the number of places I've gotten to go. So I would probably, at that point, be revisiting some of my favorite places and seeing old friends.
Tell me what you would consider a romantic evening.
A romantic evening would begin after work. I just can't help but think work would be involved in some way, because it always seems like we're both working, but we would leave our work at work. We're not always good at that, but a romantic evening, we'd have to. We'd start at a restaurant, have a nice meal, probably Italian. Then we'd take a walk in the city, somewhere interesting, and we would probably stop for after-dinner coffee, definitely decaf, and take a walk along the water somewhere.
What do you love most about your wife?
I don't always look at the human side of things. We'll be reading the news, and we'll be reading the same article, but we'll have such a different perspective on it. You know, I'll look at the numbers, and I just can't help mentally compare them to, say, we're reading about a disaster. Those are always in the news. I'll mentally compare the numbers of people injured to other disasters, and part of me will just want to file that disaster away as bigger or smaller. I'll look at it quantitatively. And then I'll realize that she's emotionally affected, and that'll make me realize that I wasn't. And that can just, that really strikes me. It doesn't happen too often, but when it does, I realize, and she reminds me that there's always a human side to things, and that it's easy to lose perspective of that.
What is the nicest thing you could do for your wife?
I'm lucky in that we both really like to travel, and I think that we've had some incredible experiences apart and together. The best ones have, of course, been together. And I think that, you know, taking her on trips and sharing really interesting travel vacations and work vacations is something we both enjoy and something she always wants to do.
Why did you decide to participate in this donor program?
I wanted to see if I could help a couple. When I was in college, I had a professor who had fertility problems. And she was a really wonderful professor, and it was only getting to know her out of class a little on an academic team that I learned about these problems. You know, we got to discuss from the ethical perspective, and I could tell how deeply this affected her and how much it meant to her to be able to raise a family. And I think that since knowing her quite a while ago, I've always had this in the back of my mind. And now that I'm somewhat settled geographically, it's possible to do something like this.
Is there a message you would like to add for recipients or offspring listening to this interview?
I hope that every once in a while you're able to find the time to just shut out the world, maybe read a good book, be with friends that you care about and mean something to you, maybe get away from things, maybe just be right in the middle of it. But find some time to yourself and know who you are.
This concludes Donor Audio Interview 2781.